You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content here on the podcast. Make sure to go out and follow me at CMolesky, at CMolesky, out on Twitter. I post a bunch of stuff out there, as well as going on the Locked On Timberwolves fan rake site in case you want any of that good written Timberwolves content. The Timberwolves face off against the New York Knicks in New York. They are facing a Knicks team that has gone 2-10 over their last 12 games. And just as far as the Timberwolves bouncing back from the Clippers, snapping that two-game losing skid by beating the Clippers 123-109, getting a little rest before they head out on the road to New York. And then they are in Philadelphia, a pretty short bounce over from New York to Philly before they play the Grizzlies and the Hawks at home. So over the next couple of games, New York, a team that is taking a nosedive. We talked to Mike from The Athletic yesterday about the Knicks and their troubles and their not necessarily tanking, but just being a bad team, trying to figure stuff out for next season here. So the Timberwolves play them, and then they have the 76ers, who is a playoff team, but they are a playoff team, but that one will be on the road as well, but then at home against down teams, the Grizzlies and the Hawks. So pretty nice slate of games over the next four, actually the next five, because they'll be on the road against Dallas after they play the Hawks at home. So pretty easy slate here when the 76ers are the only team that is actually a playoff contender that you have to worry about. For the Timberwolves, should be at least four wins for the Timberwolves coming up here. If not, maybe five if they can bump off the 76ers. Hopefully that happens. But that's just a little bit of a preview for the next few games that the Timberwolves have, a little bit of a schedule update for you. Going to the Knicks, to the present, going against the Knicks, it's actually a very interesting game because the Knicks have an abundance of point guards. The Timberwolves actually had this before Rose went out. They had an interesting point guard situation, but the Timberwolves lost Derrick Rose the other night against the Clippers with an ankle injury. Yeah, he is suspected to miss at least a couple games, is the word I'm hearing from Roto World, from the Timberwolves site. Looks like he is going to. Looks like they're projecting him to miss a few games. So again, a bunch of these scenarios are what if, depending on when he comes back and how he comes back. But as far as the point guard situation for the Knicks, Frankie Smokes, the point guard they drafted from France, has been there all year. They traded for Emmanuel Mudiay from the Nuggets. They picked up Trey Burke. He was on the Washington Wizards roster. And they also had Jared Jack at the beginning of the season. He hasn't played as much now that they've added a couple younger pieces, and obviously wanting to play those guys as well, because those guys are kind of, you anticipate those guys being more of the future, and Jared Jack was kind of a Band-Aid for this season. But it's interesting because they have all these point guards and they have some different strengths here. I think you like Trey Burke. He has actually played really well for the Knicks, 51% in the 26 games that he has played for the Knicks, 51% shooting. He's shooting 40% from downtown. He's averaging 10.7 points per game and 17.3 minutes per game. He has definitely kind of presented himself as probably the best scoring option of this trio. You have Frankie Smokes, who has definitely been the defensive guy, the defensive presence on this team. And then, of course, you have Emmanuel Mudiay. I think so far he might be still the biggest question mark coming into the last stretch of games here for the New York Knicks. He's averaged 9.7 points per game for the Knicks. In Denver, you saw him this year averaging 8.5 points per game. As far as Mudiay, you hope that his upside is in the offense, is in his kind of playmaking, what he's able to do in the offense. He's averaging 4.4 assists for for the New York Knicks, which is the most of these three young point guards. So right there, playmaking ability, he definitely has that. Maybe not in spades right as of yet, but he's kind of in between there. He doesn't seem to be the best scorer. He doesn't seem to be he's definitely not the best defender of this trio, but he's not the best at anything, but he's not the worst at anything of this group either. He's interesting, although his defense is pretty bad. But you kind of hope that he's the guy maybe with the second most ceiling or the most ceiling after Frankie Smokes. It's an interesting threesome at point guard. Now, if you dig into the numbers, something that you see the Knicks do fairly well is they do a good job playing these guys together. So playing these guys in a couple different sets. The stats for them as follows. So hang on here. I'm going to throw a lot of stats at you, but we're going to make some sense of this real quickly. So Moutier and Smokes have played for 13 games together, or in 13 games together. They average 11.1 minutes per game, and they put up 23.4 points per game, shooting 43.8%. 30.9 from three, 4.8 assists. They seem pretty solid. But if you get into the other matchups, Burke playing with Frankie Smokes, they averaged 23.4 points per game in 21 games, 10.6 minutes per game, 49% shooting. This is a matchup that might be the most interesting, just with the explosive offense that Trey Burke has given. The New York Knicks off the bench. He hasn't started a single game, but the Michigan product has been explosive off the bench. He's been an interesting watch off the bench. And then you have Burke Moutier. That combo has been good for 8 games, 4.6 minutes per game, 11.6 points per game, and 51% shooting. Obviously, a super small sample size from that duo. Moutier has been on the team less time than Burke, and obviously left time that Frankie Smokes. But you see there just some numbers to kind of give you comparisons, how they can kind of maybe mix and match this backcourt. Because as Mike said yesterday, and as we kind of went over, there are always going to be sets, and there's always going to be tons of chunks of time where NBA rosters, at least for the most part, most NBA teams are going to throw out at least two point guards on the court at one time. There's plenty of situations where you want to go small ball and have two point guards out there. Now, the interesting thing that presents when you're going into a game against the Timberwolves is this is a team in the Timberwolves that has not really been one to play multiple point guards at the same time. To date, Jeff Teague and Tyus Jones have played together in only 5 games, averaging 1.5 minutes per game, 4.2 points, and 43% shooting. You can see right there from those numbers, they are not getting a ton of floor time together. The Timberwolves are not playing point guards together much. But if you look at since Derrick Rose got here, now again, he is injured, so that won't have an impact on this game, and I'll get to that in a second. But the interesting fact from Rose coming over is he has played in 5 games with Tyus Jones, averaging 6.3 minutes per game, 13.6 points, and 50% shooting. Rose has also played in 3 games where he has shared the floor with Teague. They have averaged 8.8 minutes per game together, 20 points, and 46% shooting when they are in a game together on the court at the same time. Interesting stuff, because for a team that doesn't really experiment, a team that sticks very close to their starters, and obviously Tibbs, he plays his starters a lot. We know that. We know exactly that situation. I'm not going to get into minutes again about a Timberwolves minute situation, but we know exactly how much the starters get time. It's interesting that with Derrick Rose on the roster, he's maybe experimented slightly more by putting a couple point guards out on the floor together. Hopefully that's a trend that continues. The interesting thing is that New York is a team that's experimenting a ton with its point guards, got a ton of young point guards, trying to see exactly what they have and what is mix and matches the best. I really think that the Timberwolves should take a page out of the New York Knicks playbook and play their point guards more together. Now, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Teague-Rose combo is actually something that is pretty good on offense. Granted, we have not seen a lot of Tyus Jones and Jeff Teague on the floor. I cannot emphasize that enough. And I think that that is something over the next, you see, I mentioned over the next five games. I brought that up for a reason. I always have a plan for the show. I always have a plan for the show, folks. But I bring that up because you have some really easy games. Now, the Timberwolves have lost some easy games against bad opponents, so you don't want to take those for granted. But I think you can also experiment a little bit in the second quarter, in the third quarter, with some lineups. I'm not saying throw the game on experimentation, but I don't think throwing the game is having Tyus Jones and Jeff Teague play 12 minutes against the Atlanta Hawks at home. I think that's figuring out what you have, figuring out some different lineups that you can use in the playoffs. And I also think that's good because I don't hate when Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague are playing off one another, and clearly the stats show, again, very small sample size, but in that tiny sample size, the stats show that it actually kind of works. And so I'm hoping that one thing that happens after the New York Knicks game is that they see some of the things that their other teams are doing with point guards, and I don't know why it would work to on Friday of all the games they've played the Portland Trailblazers. They do have a very diverse backcourt with CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Plenty of teams play multiple point guards, but maybe, just maybe, the Timberwolves can pick something up from the Knicks in what hopefully is a win and play a couple more point guards because it works for different teams, and that's something you're going to see against the Knicks, is you're going to see their three-point guards playing together in a bunch of different ways, in a bunch of different lineups. And it's going to work. Some of those mixes and matches are going to work really well for the Knicks. And I think that it would really work well for the Timberwolves as well, as they did that with their point guard position. That's when Derrick Rose is healthy and on the team, it is a pretty busy spot for them. We're going to get to some sponsors before we dive more into the New York Knicks game. And I give you a prediction on who is going to score, who is going to win, all that good stuff like that. But first, some sponsors. Timberwolves are on the road against the New York Knicks. The Knicks, obviously, without Kristaps Porzingis, and having lost a great deal of their games as of late. Like I said earlier, 2 of 10 over the last 12 games. Knicks in the bottom of the standings. For the East, in the bottom of the standings for the entire NBA, but they're 26-46 in that race for that number one pick that so many teams are a part of. And this is a game that the Timberwolves should win. I know that on the show we have said that a lot about a few different teams all over the season, a few different spots, and it doesn't always pan out. But the Timberwolves did a good job taking care of business at home against the Clippers. You had a big night from Wiggins, from Towns, from Teague. Even Taj Gibson had a solid performance. Looking at the Western Conference standings, as of right now, the Timberwolves, I am recording this show actually on a Thursday afternoon, but as of right now, the Timberwolves are in the seventh spot, 41-31. Right in front of the Jazz. They have the tiebreaker against the Clippers. Denver's in the ninth spot at 39-33. And you have San Antonio just ahead of the Timberwolves at 42-30. So getting wins here, definitely a necessity. I would say that the Timberwolves, you really almost need them to nearly win out, just because I don't think you want to be stuck in that seventh or eighth spot either, because I personally don't want them to go into the playoffs and get swept by either the Rockets or the Warriors. But if you get into the sixth spot and you're playing a team like Portland, I think that's a very good series. I think there are certain ways, if Jimmy Butler is back, that the Timberwolves can match up well with the Trailblazers. I think if you even sneak even higher, you could be playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, which would be a great series for the Timberwolves. But at the very least, try and get into that sixth spot. So these are must-win games. Again, like I was saying earlier, some stuff I'm going to be expecting from the Knicks. I'm going to be expecting a lot of different lineups with their young point guards. I'm going to be expecting them to put out a bunch of different sets where they're pairing different point guards with Beasley and with Hardaway. Again, this is a team that's really, they're in talent evaluation mode. They're really trying to figure out what they have as far as who is on their roster that they should keep, who should they move in the offseason, what do they need going into the draft, who can they maybe lose in then pick up in free agency somebody else to replace. This is talent evaluation time, because when Kristaps Porzingis comes back next year, they're going to want to have a more solid roster than they have right now to try and hit the ground running at some kind of pace for the Knicks to try and get off to a good start next season with a healthy superstar in their lineup, back in their lineup. So this team is all about talent evaluation. You're going to see a bunch of different lineups against the Timberwolves. They're going to be trying a bunch of different things. I think I'd expect them to go when they're playing point guards, especially when they're playing point guards pretty consistently on the floor together. I'd expect maybe some fast pace, a lot of transition attempts at points for the Knicks. And I expect them to try and pick up the tempo of this game. And I think the Timberwolves executed very well against the Clippers the other night. The Clippers, another team that likes to go fast-paced, that likes to score a bunch of points, that likes to score in transition, that likes to keep a defense off edge in transition, because the Clippers do not have a very good defense. So they're going to try and knock you off balance with offense and with speed. Timberwolves counterbalance that with playing really well in the half court, kind of slowing things down. You saw that especially in that second and third quarter. They did a good job slowing the pace down, calming down the game, and they jumped out ahead, and they led as much as 21 at one point ahead of the Clippers. That was their biggest lead the other night. So I'd expect the same kind of performance from the Timberwolves. You expect them to slow things down. You expect them to keep the Knicks from trying to get this game into a higher gear and into transition basketball. I expect the Timberwolves to slow things down, run a lot of stuff through Towns. Porzingis is not there, and as good as Cantor has looked at times for the Knicks, I just really don't think he is anywhere near the level that Karl Anthony Towns plays at, especially as of late. So I really expect the Timberwolves to feed the ball to Towns. I'd anticipate about 18 to 25 shot attempts from Towns, and I think that he is going to end up with a 25 and 11 sort of night, 25 points, 11 rebounds, of course, but 25 and 11 sort of night for him. Feed him the ball a lot. Keep the offense in the half court. As far as score predictions, I'm going to say that the Timberwolves win this one 110-96. That's a 110-96 win for the Timberwolves to get back to a two-game winning streak. Hopefully take some momentum into Philadelphia with them as they play the 76ers on the road. Big games. I'm expecting a good game from Jeff Teague again. 20 points, 12 assists. Great performance from him against the Clippers. I expect him to take advantage of some poor defense on the outside from the point guard positions. Like I was mentioning earlier, Moutier, Trey Burke, really those are guys who you're going to see perform a lot better on the offensive side than on the defensive side. And because Frankie Smokes is going to grab more minutes than both of those guys, but they're going to throw those guys out there a lot. I think that when two point guards are on the floor and one of them isn't named Frankie Smokes, then I think that you have to just screen Teague to a Burke or to a Moutier, and I think that he will have a lot of shooting opportunities. I think that he will also be able to play off the strong game against the Clippers and have a great performance assist-wise. So I'm expecting a big night from him. I'm going to throw a prediction here as well. I'm expecting 22 points, 11 assists, another double-double, back-to-back double-doubles for Jeff Teague. And like I already said, Towns should have a very solid night. Taj Gibson, another guy I think will have a big night for the Timberwolves. Again, I'm not really anticipating a ton from the interior, from the front court of the Knicks. So Taj Gibson, I think he'll have another one of those quiet 15 and 10 sort of nights. And it when you look at the stat sheet, it doesn't seem like it's a big game. But like in the second quarter, it'll just seem like Taj Gibson is going to be touching the ball a ton on pretty much every possession, and it'll go down as he was really important in the first half of this game, especially against a weak front court for the Knicks. On the Knicks side of things, I actually think that Trey Burke can take advantage of the poor perimeter defense that the Timberwolves have, and I think he'll knock down some shots. I actually anticipate him having a big game. I'm calling 18 points for the former Michigan Wolverines boy, and I'm thinking that he will have no trouble getting some outside buckets. Again, shooting 40% from the perimeter for the New York Knicks in 26 games. I think that he should have a pretty big night, and I think when he's playing with Emmanuel Mudiay, I think that Mudiay's playmaking and looking to pass before he's looking to score, I think that helps him. And so I think the Mudiay-Trey Burke combo, if you see that out on the floor, expect Trey Burke to pop a couple three-point shots, because I think that his offense is kind of one of the more exciting things on a very bad Knicks team. He's averaging 2.3 three-point attempts this season. I see him taking like five or six shots from outside and sinking probably half of them. So that's the New York Knicks I have going off tonight. Again, 119-96 win for the Timberwolves. That's my prediction. Thank you for tuning in to a Friday podcast. Really appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great weekend. And thank you for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.